Today's Revive Our Hearts program will help you learn to discern the truth, and it can also help listeners learn a second language. How's that? Here's Nancy Lee DeMoss.
We got a sweet email not long ago from a young woman in Hungary who said, "I've learned most of my English from Revive Our Hearts." She said, "While I was learning English, this ministry helped me always focus on Christ." And I'll add, learning about Christ is way more important than learning English or any other language. Well, she also told us that she's been discipling other young people in God's Word. And as a newly married wife, she appreciates the truth that she's hearing on Revive Our Hearts. That's what helps her live out God's Word in practical ways in her season of life. So, how does Revive Our Hearts get to Hungary over in Eastern Europe every weekday? Well, it's because of listeners like you who support this ministry so that we can develop biblical content and then maintain the websites needed to spread this message around the world. We just couldn't do it without you. Now, as we've been sharing, the month of May is a critical time for this ministry. That's when we close the accounting books on one fiscal year and we begin a new one. That's when we evaluate whether we ended the year in the black and what kind of ministry we can continue and expand in the year ahead. It's such a challenge and a joy for me to sense how much need and hunger there is for God's Word among women around the world. My heart says this is not a time to scale back on ministry. This is a time to accelerate the movement and share the truth with even more women. And that's why I'm asking the Lord to provide $450,000 or more in donations here during the month of May. Would you prayerfully consider being a part of helping to meet that need? Now be sure that you're giving to meet the needs of your local church. But beyond that, if the Lord prompts you to give a gift to help with our need, you can give us a call at 1-800-569-5959 to make your donation. Again, that's 1-800-569-5959. Or visit us online at reviveourhearts.com. Thank you so much for being a part of what God is doing in calling women around the world to experience greater freedom, fullness, and fruitfulness in Christ.
Nancy Lee DeMoss says you can't show discernment casually.
You have to be intentional. And if you're not intentional about building yourself up and keeping yourself in the faith and in the love of God, then the world will suck you into its deception.
This is the Revive Our Hearts podcast for Friday, May 15th, 2015. Today, Nancy will show you practical ways to develop discernment as a way of life. She's wrapping up the series, Discerning Truth in a World of Deception. But first, she's going to set the stage by helping us differentiate our personal preferences from unsound teaching.
The first level theological issues are those that are fundamental, cardinal doctrines of our Christian faith. For example, the inspiration and inerrancy of Scripture, the authority of Scripture, the Trinity, the virgin birth of Christ, the full deity, the full humanity of Christ, the substitutionary atonement of Christ on the cross, justification by faith, etc. These are doctrines that are crucial and essential to the Christian faith. And if you deny these doctrines, you deny Christianity. You cannot deny these doctrines and call yourself, well, you can call yourself a Christian, but you can't deny these doctrines and be a true Christian. These are fatal errors to be wrong on these doctrines. These are doctrines that if you deny them, you can't be saved. They can keep you out of the kingdom of Christ. And we cannot have spiritual unity and fellowship with people who deny these cardinal doctrines of the faith. Now, that doesn't mean we can't go to lunch with them. It doesn't mean we can't work with them in the workplace. But you cannot have spiritual unity or fellowship with people who disagree on the core first-level issues of our faith. And then we have what Dr. Moeller calls second-order or second-level theological issues. These are issues on which believing Christians may disagree. And these issues may create some organizational or denominational boundaries between us, But we still accept and love each other as Christians and can fellowship around the gospel of Jesus Christ because we hold that in common. Our common faith in Christ allows us to have a fellowship with one another, even though we may go to a church of a different denomination. And there's some question on which issues would fit into this category. It's more the concept that there are levels of these issues. But I think that we could safely say that examples of things that would fit in this category would be the meaning and the mode of baptism. And you would have those Presbyterians who would disagree with Baptists and others as to when somebody should be baptized, how they should be baptized. It's not that these things are unimportant. It's not that the Scripture doesn't deal with them, but it's that they're not core issues to the gospel, to our faith in Christ. You can be have differing positions on those things and still be a true Christian. We could add to that category some issues about gifts of the Holy Spirit and how those work out. Eternal security, perseverance of the saints, women's role in the church. These are all important issues. We talk about a lot about the latter one. I have strong convictions on all of these, things that I believe the Bible teaches about all of these. But to disagree with me on those issues will not keep you out of heaven. Now, disagreeing about the gospel will keep you out of heaven. But these are issues that would be second level, second order theological issues. And then we have what Dr. Moeller calls third order or third level theological issues, where Christians may disagree but can still maintain close fellowship with each other, even within the same church. Some aspects of how we observe the Lord's Supper or how frequently would be an example of that. Eschatology. Within my church, there are those who would disagree about the timetable and the sequence of the events surrounding the return of Christ. But we're in the same church. We worship together. We fellowship together. These are third-level issues. Interpretation of obscure or difficult scripture passages. Issues of Christian liberty. Some who feel that they may, some who feel that they may not on certain practices. Styles of worship. Women's dress. Now, we could say that modesty and femininity are clear biblical standards, but as to exactly how that is applied, I may apply that differently than you do, and we could still be close spiritual friends, close fellowship in the same church. Some of those things we won't know till we get to heaven, who was right and who was wrong, or even if in some instances the Lord even really cared about some of the things that we disagree on. So we need to keep things in perspective and make sure when we're talking about doctrine and deception that we make a big deal about first level issues. And we need to make sure that we don't break fellowship over third-level issues. And there are two dangerous tendencies you find among believers today. Some is that they overlook first-level issues and say, well, it's not that big a deal, and pretend like we can have meaningful fellowship with people who do not believe in the same Christ and the same gospel. That's the danger of liberalism. We need to be careful about that. But then there's the danger of legalism, which is to elevate third-level issues to matters of absolutes. And both are dangerous. We've looked at a number of verses in this series from 2 Timothy chapter 3, where we talked about weak-willed women who are drawn astray by things that are deceptive. In the context of that passage, the Apostle Paul says to Timothy, 2 Timothy 3, beginning in verse 14, "But as for you, continue in what you have learned and have firmly believed, knowing from whom you learned it and how from childhood you have been acquainted with the sacred writings which are able to make you wise for salvation through faith in Christ Jesus. All Scripture is breathed out by God and profitable for teaching, for reproof, for correction, and for training in righteousness, that the man of God may be competent, equipped for every good work." Tim Challies, I've been referring to you in this series. He's written a wonderful book called The Discipline of Spiritual Discernment. And I'm encouraging our listeners to get this book. He deals with the heart of discernment, the will of God in discernment, practicing discernment, developing discernment, a call to discernment. Very outstanding book. And in that book, he says, we discern truth from error and right from wrong by using our minds to search Scripture, to recall Scripture, and to compare everything to Scripture. Without the Bible and its objective truths, there can be no discernment. The role of the Word, it's central. Continue in what you have learned. It's the sacred writings, the Scripture, that we need. Truth is the most powerful corrective to error. Light dispels darkness. And on Revive Our Hearts, I try to spend a lot of time just declaring the truth, shining the light, because it's the light that expels the darkness. So now, sometimes we have to point out the darkness, and I've done some of that in this series. But the most important thing we can do is know the truth so that it will dispel the darkness and the error. Hold everything you hear up to the Scripture. That's what we read in Acts chapter 17 that the Bereans did when Paul went to minister there. It says the Bereans were more noble than those in Thessalonica. They received the word, the Bereans did, with all eagerness, examining the Scriptures daily to see if these things were so. The apostles' teaching, the Bereans said, let's compare it to the Word of God. So when we say today, be a Berean Christian, that's what we mean. Examine the Scripture and make sure that what you're hearing is so. Now, Paul says, from childhood, Timothy, you have been acquainted with these sacred writings. I want to just do a little parenthesis here about the importance of imparting truth to the next generation, to children. Timothy had been trained and schooled at the knee of a righteous, a godly grandmother and mother, perhaps an unbelieving father, but a mother and a grandmother who knew the Word of God and had taught it to him from childhood. And Paul says, continue in what you've learned and remember from whom you received it. Go back, think about their lives and how they modeled to you the beauty of this truth and God's way of thinking. Our culture is working round the clock, 24/7, relentlessly to impart deception and ungodly values to your children and your grandchildren. And we have to be intentional as an older generation about speaking the truth into their lives, helping them to develop godly discernment so they recognize wickedness that masquerades as goodness and deception that is cloaked in truth and is widely accepted as being truthful. So as a mom, as a grandmom, as those who are influencing children in our churches, we have to be alert and look for teachable moments to impart truth. Be intentional, be watchful, be vigilant with your children. And by the way, kids can learn truth in very great quantities if they're motivated to do so. I was talking with a young man in our church the other day. He's 13 years old in the eighth grade, and he started telling me about cars. And he was actually, I was giving him a ride home, and he was sitting in my car, and he was telling me about all these cars that were passing by. And he said, that's a such and such a year, and that's a such and such brand, and that's made so and so. And I looked at him, and I said, how do you know all this? He said, I'm just really interested in cars. I read magazines. Here's a 13-year-old who had his head filled with all kinds of fascinating stuff about cars. I said, is there any car that you don't know? He said, not many. Well, I'm thinking about what if our kids were taking that time and effort and investing it in getting to know the Word of God. They really could know the Scripture. I am so, so thankful for the early years of my life in our home, at family devotions, with conversation in our home, with Christian school, with Sunday school, which you hardly hear about anymore, with the day in and day out and line upon line, precept upon precept, training and instruction in the Word of God that I received. Now, you can get your head filled and not have a personal relationship with God. But when the Spirit of God is in your heart, and he's making it real to you, and you have people who are living out the truth they're proclaiming, who are influencing your life. That was a huge influence in my life. I thank the Lord for pastors, for sitting in church week after week after week under pastors who exposited the Word of God and were just pouring it into my life in winsome and Spirit-filled ways. So the importance of getting your children exposed, protecting them from entertainment and influences that would undermine the truth, and getting them saturated with the Word. I love these Bible quizzing programs that some churches have, and Awanas, getting the kids memorizing Scripture. But it's more than that. It's growing up in an environment, not just with your own kids, but as you're around other people's kids, where you're talking to them about how the Word relates to all of life so that they develop a sense, a radar about what's true. You know, ultimately, the power of discernment is not based so much on what you know or your capacity for knowledge as it is in years and years of saturation in the Word of God. And there are no shortcuts to that. You don't develop discernment in 3 weeks or 3 months or 3 years. You can grow in it over that period of time, but it's years upon years of thinking God's way, which is why we need to be so intentional about filling our minds with the Word of God. Now, not only filling our minds with the Word of God, but it's important to hang around discerning people, to get around people who have discernment. Let me go back to 2 Timothy 3 here for a moment. Paul talks about the importance of godly role models. 2 Timothy 3, verse 10, he says, "You, Timothy, have followed, or you have fully known my teaching, my conduct, my aim in life, my faith, my patience, my love, and my steadfastness." Paul is saying, you've been around me, and that has taught you how to be discerning. And notice Paul's teaching and his conduct matched up. Now, it doesn't help if your teaching is one thing, but you live a different way. But Paul is saying to Timothy, study and follow people whose lives are consistent with sound doctrine. And as we do, we get encouraged and we get an example of what it means to be discerning. Now, Paul says, too, there have been tribulations in my life. There have been persecutions. In fact, look at verse 11. "You have followed my persecutions and sufferings that happened to me at Antioch, at Iconium, and at Lystra, which persecutions I endured, yet from them all the Lord rescued me. Indeed, all who desire to live a godly life in Christ Jesus will be persecuted, while evil people and imposters will go on from bad to worse, deceiving and being deceived." Paul's saying if you're going to stand for the truth in an era when deception is rampant, you're going to have to suffer. So don't be surprised when the majority opinion is going the wrong direction. He says, don't be surprised. Don't let it throw you. It's not easy to stay faithful in the midst of an era that does not value absolute truth. Paul says, you have fully known my teaching, my conduct. One of the most powerful means that we have to influence others to believe the truth is our life message. Truth is often communicated in the context of relationship. People see the fruit of sound doctrine in our lives, and that's the best apologetic for truth. I remember years ago talking with a young man who'd grown up in a Christian home, godly parents, but he had walked away from the truth. And he was kicking against it. He was resisting it. But we stayed connected. And I can remember when he was a college student one time, we were sitting in my car in my garage. I just remember that setting as we'd come back from somewhere. And he was spewing out all this doubt about the Christian faith and whether any of this was real and meant anything. But we kept the relationship. And I kept going after his heart. And you know, my first tendency was to give him things to read that were like apologetics books, but they didn't crack him. He was very smart. He always had answers. He always had rebuttals to that. What did crack his heart was when those of us who were connected to his life, people who loved him, won his heart to Christ by love, by kindness, by conversation, and by confrontation at points, saying, you know what? I don't believe the issue for you is really an intellectual problem. I think in your heart you know this is true. But you've chosen a lifestyle that isn't compatible with truth, and you don't want to give up your lifestyle. What's at the heart of what you're struggling with is rebellion. Now, that wasn't an easy thing to say. Those weren't easy conversations, but it was through life-to-life conversations like that, with the Holy Spirit of God supernaturally drawing his heart, that that young man did come to faith in Christ, and today is one of the finest servants of the Lord that I know, wholeheartedly sold out to the Lord. But he was able to look at people who lived out the truth and won his heart by saying, let's do life together. You've seen my teaching, you've seen my conduct, and it became a powerful means of influence. Have the humility to listen, to learn, to ask question, to ask input and counsel from spiritual leaders. This is one big mistake I think Eve made in the garden. The scripture says her husband Adam was there with her when the serpent came to her. And the wise thing for her to have done at that point would be to turn to her husband and would say, honey, is this true? Is this what God said? What should we do about this? To get discernment from a spiritual leader that God had put into her life. But she didn't do that. She struck out on her own. And I find that in my life, it's very important, no matter how grounded you are, to have around you wise and discerning people that you can ask to help safeguard your own thinking. Any book that I write, I have it go through theological review from godly men who are grounded in the Word. When I have a question about something I'm getting ready to teach or I'm grappling with a particular principle, I've done this in the past week, talked to one of our board members and said, help me wrestle through some of these issues and make sure that I'm seeing this from a biblical standpoint. Be a learner, be teachable, and go to the right kind of people who are biblically grounded to get your input. Make sure you're in a church where the Word and sound doctrine are being taught consistently. Not just moralizing, not just building your self-esteem, not just giving you how-tos to have a happy life, but sound biblical teaching. Make sure you're in that kind of church. Don't try to go it alone in this discernment issue. God gives us spiritual leaders and pastors and teachers and husbands to instruct in sound doctrine, to warn us about deception, to protect us spiritually. And then you have to keep growing in your faith. This is not a once and for all thing. There's never a time in the Christian life when we can afford to coast or to drift when it comes to discernment. The book of Jude, which as you know is just one chapter long, is a discourse, a treatise on the characteristics of false teachers. And then Jude says, but you, beloved, verse 20, building yourselves up in your most holy faith and praying in the Holy Spirit, keep yourselves in the love of God. Building yourself up, doing it all the time, continue growing, continue maturing in your insight and your discernment. That's the greatest antidote to false teaching coming into your life. But it doesn't just happen. You have to be intentional. And if you're not intentional about building yourself up and keeping yourself in the faith and in the love of God, then the world will suck you into its deception. You can't just sit still. You've got to be maturing. You've got to be making progress and growing. And there are no shortcuts. Have I told you that already? Discernment is the fruit of a lifetime of intentional effort to know God and His Word and His ways. And then stay connected to Christ. Stay connected to Christ. Colossians chapter 2. See to it that no one takes you captive by philosophy and empty deceit, according to human tradition, according to the elemental spirits of the world, and not according to Christ. For in Him the whole fullness of deity dwells bodily, and you have been filled in Him who is the head of all rule and authority. Keep going back to Christ. He is the center. He is the glue. He is the core. He is the heart. He is the epitome. He is the paragon of all virtue and truth. He is the truth. He is the bread. He is the water. He is the life. He is the way. Go to Christ. Get to Christ. Everything you're reading in this book, the scripture, ask, how does this point me to Christ? Stay connected to Him, and you will be protected from error. And so, it is my prayer, as Paul says in Philippians chapter 1, that your love, you as a listener, that your love may abound more and more with knowledge and all discernment, so that you may approve what is excellent, and so be pure and blameless for the day of Christ. That's my burden for you. I don't want you just to love listening to Christian radio. I want you to know God's Word and love applying it to everything that comes across your path, filled with discernment, approving what is excellent. And we have this confidence that one day the deceiver who is out to deceive the whole world, Satan himself, will be defeated by Christ, who is the truth. So when it seems like the whole world is turning to deception, and there's such a slim minority of people, such a slim remnant of people who are going with God's truth, lift up your head, take courage, and know that soon, according to God's word, the God of peace will crush Satan, the deceiver, under your feet. And in the meantime, the Lord is able to protect and preserve us, no matter what the flow around us is doing. Yes, we have to swim against the flow. We have to be salmon swimming upstream. We've said that many times on Revive Our Hearts. But God is able to protect us. I love the way that Jude closes his little epistle in verse 24. After all this treatise warning about false teachers, false teaching, we're to build ourselves up in our most holy faith, keeping ourselves in the love of God. But here's what it comes down to, Jude 24. Now to him who is able to keep you. We're supposed to keep ourselves in the love of God, but he's the one who keeps us. Now to him who is able to keep you from stumbling and to present you blameless before the presence of his glory with great joy. To the only wise God, our Savior, be glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen.
That's Nancy Lee DeMoss in the final teaching segment in the series Discerning the Truth in a World of Deception. She's back with a final thought.
Well, as we bring this current series to a close today, Discerning Truth in a World of Deception, I want you to know how grateful I am for the many, many people who have posted comments on the comment blog. They've emailed us and they've sent us questions and comments. I'm so encouraged by your desire to understand the importance of filtering the messages that bombard us every day through the lens of Scripture. Now, many of our listeners have affirmed that you wholeheartedly agree with the concerns I've expressed and the things I've shared. And then there are those who have expressed some pretty strong disagreement. And I just want to say to you that it's not been my intent to be harsh or unkind or ungracious in any way, but just to encourage you to filter everything through the grid of Scripture. And some of you have raised some very honest and legitimate questions about how to apply these concepts to issues that you're facing in your church or in your family or among your friends. I wish we'd had time to address all of those questions, and a lot of the comments we've received just highlight the fact that there is a lot of confusion out there today. So my hope is that you've been motivated to be intentional about cultivating biblical discernment. We need to know how to discern between what is true and what is false. And although this series is ending today, I want to encourage you to continue to hone your discernment skills with Tim Challey's book, The Discipline of Spiritual Discernment. We'll be glad to send you that book by Tim Challey's, The Discipline of Spiritual Discernment, when you send a donation of any amount to Revive Our Hearts.
Just ask for the book when you call us at 1-800-569-5959. Or look for the offer of Tim Challey's book when you go to reviveourhearts.com. And on Monday, find out what happens when women from 23 countries come together to seek the Lord. Please be back for Revive Our Hearts. Revive Our Hearts with Nancy Lee DeMoss is an outreach of Life Action Ministries.